Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a new edition of Pod by the Bay. I'm your host, Nathan Bond. Alongside me, Seth Farnador. We've got a quick one for you this evening. Lots to discuss as your USF men's basketball team prepares for ECU. Friday afternoon, 1 p.m. on ESPN2 at the AAC Conference Tournament. Robert Stieg will be out there. We'll get to that in a second. First of all, I wanted to thank all of the listeners, everybody who's been a patron, who's supported, for donating and continue to donate, be supportive of what we do, and being a patron, because without you, this doesn't happen.
Well, touching action.
Stingray Beach. Sponsored by the Bay Area Examiner at the Green and Gold Gala over the weekend. My wife and I were able to go. We had a lot of fun. Hobnob with some rich folks and chatted and did the silent disco and had a lot of fun and walked around in uncomfortable shoes and saw a lot of people that we know. And it was a lot of fun. Some great food. Spoke with head coach Alex Golish for a couple minutes. Chief of Staff Andrew Warsaw, I saw him. Again, just really, really appreciate you guys supporting us going independent. And, you know, I was a little snarky on Twitter over the weekend, thanking our former bosses for killing the blog. Because without you guys doing that, none of this would have happened. So, again, truly, truly appreciate the folks over at Redacted and Redacted for killing the former site and letting us grow to what we are now, which is business owners and having to file taxes.
Yeah, that was fun. Make, big boy stuff.
Taxable income, which is insane. So that's
not a ton. Don't worry. We're trying to spend. We're doing our best. And this year's goal is to spend as much money as possible. So we weren't quite sure what we were going to make that first football season. So we were pretty frugal, but the goal is no taxable income at all. And then I think that would help us deliver more stuff to the patrons and things like that. Also, thanks to Annabelle with the USF Alumni Association. A very nice note after the event. So. Yeah, it's super cool. Able to kind of, you know, use it not only to kind of give back a little bit, but also like great way for us to market ourselves as well, get us out there beyond just the people that listening and word of mouth, which is still probably the best way to do it. But, you know, it's fun to be able to do some stuff like that. So thank you guys for joining us. And, you know, I worked with some other blogs at the other place, and those guys, it's just like totally dead. Just one day it was over, like the plug got pulled and nobody. I saw somebody asking, where did that, what happened to this Twitter account, what happened to this? And thanks to you guys, we're able to kind of keep all that stuff going and just rebrand and do our own thing, and it's gone really well. Like, we had to file taxes, so that was not fun.
Lo and behold, spoiler alert, Stieg and I had already filed our taxes before realizing we're probably going to have to claim some money.
So there's a small, a very small amount of taxable income you need.
So
you got to give unto Caesar what is Caesar's. You don't want to mess around with the IRS.
absolutely not. On that note, Robert Stieg, as previously mentioned, he will be in Dallas. He flies out at the end. By the time you hear this, he's either in the air or already landed in Dallas. So he will be covering the games. With that being said, it's going to be exclusive to the Ponderosa section of the Discord. All of his coverage is going to be, unfortunately, behind the paywall.
Yeah.
He is, we're sending him out there. Wasn't cheap. We had a talk to the American. I had a, you know, strong arm the American into letting
Robert Stieg
cover the tournament. because he's not here, I'll tell the story.
This is my favorite story of the whole blog or the whole site now.
So we took the initiative and bought the hotel and then got the airfare taken care of. Naturally assuming, okay, well, the credential will be approved. Once they get it, it'll be approved. The very next day, after we have purchased flight and hotel room, I get an email saying, your credential request has been denied. And I was like, well, that's not going to work. So I reach out to the American Athletic Conference, and I'll basically say, hey, I was wondering kind of what's going on. We've been covering the conference for a while. We just rebranded back in, August, and wanted to see what was kind of going on, why this credential got denied. And I got the reply back, hi, Nathan, comma, wasn't the outlet I was denying. It was that Robert Stieg, .. So I had to smooth things over with the conference to get Stieg credentialed, but he will be there and it will be behind the paywall. You can join the Discord, the Patreon, the Ponderosa section of the Discord, $5 a month.
Yeah, $5 gets you the whole month, and it's basically like any other message board. We've broken some news there, and basically just like any other message board that covers USF, where you get some inside information, except it's basically half the cost, because those are all $9.99 or $10 a month. So yep. $5 gets you in, and then $10 gets you an extra pod every week, which we're going to record a super in-depth preview on ECU right after this. And hopefully, if they keep winning, we'll do something after every game and look into the next one and then the tournament. And then higher than that, you get some merch, which we've been doing some work on. And maybe have to stop some of that work. But it's good.
Okay. Speaking denied is the second funniest thing that's happened.
Yeah,
the creation. Of
the yes, that's the fun. It's the funniest thing we can talk about so far.
Exactly. So. One of these days.
Yeah.
But on that note, talking about the Ponderosa section of the Discord, earlier this week, Steve kind of threw something out and kind of piqued everybody's attention, saying, "I have a feeling that." This baseball season is going to be kind of like Jeff Scott's last year, kind of alluding to the fact that some people, some key players are going to get hurt, things of that nature. Lo and behold, 2 hours later, we receive word that Bobby Bowser of USF Baseball is going to be out for an extended period of time with a hand injury. Not entirely sure what the injury is, but I mean, basically, essentially after that first weekend of baseball, he has just been absolutely freaking lights out for the Bulls. He had leads the team in home runs by a wide margin. He has, as of this recording, has exactly half of USF's home runs. He led the team with 24 RBIs. He's slugging .717. The dude's been an absolute monster this season. And that is a big blow to this offense, to this team, where we kind of figured hitting would be fine and pitching would still need some work, and that seems to be the case. But you're taking a huge, huge piece of your offensive firepower out of the lineup for the foreseeable future. It's going to be tough to recover from. They still have a lot of good dudes. Jackson Mayo's been hitting the ball really well. John Montes. Brutcher's been just, steady as he's been for 4 years. Let's see if, Eric Snow, Bennett Rosenblum can kind of pick it up. I think, who hit the home run the other night? Or the double? It was like a bases clearing double. I think it was Puckett on Tuesday night hit a bases clearing 3 RBI double. They're just gonna have to pick up pieces. The pitching's got to do better. They've been kind of shellacked early and often. the last couple of games at North Carolina, A&T. That entire series was a slugfest, and then on Sunday they lost 13-1. USF was able to come back and win on Tuesday night. They 10-6, if I recall correctly.
I think one thing that's been kind of interesting to see after the fact is kind of how tough the schedule has been, like tougher than initially anticipated early. Like it's been a pretty, like Florida State's turned out to be really good. I think UCF's turned out to be pretty good as well. Like, so, and that series was kind of back and forth the whole way. So, you know, it's tough, you know, injuries suck obviously, but I think you're hoping that that early schedule was kind of like, okay, this is actually these teams are a little better than anticipated, so maybe once you get set onto the conference slate, you can kind of pick it up a little bit in terms of wins and losses.
Yeah, and they welcome in UNC Greensboro this weekend, who's sporting a 9-7 record. Kind of taking a look. It might get reloaded. They played Wake. They beat Wake, the number one team in the country at the time. Beat Wake. It was obviously a Tuesday game. So, you know, as we always say, don't take too much stock into the weekday games and Sunday games. But definitely something to look forward to. They did get swept by Clemson over the weekend, and then they beat number 13 NC State on Tuesday. So they have two ranked wins during the middle of the week, and then they traveled down here to Tampa over the weekend for a 3-game set. So not going to be a rollover series by any stretch of the imagination.
No. So yeah, it just kind of adds to that tough early out of conference slate. So hopefully once you get into conference play, which happens March 22nd against Memphis, you got everything rolling then. So that's the hope. But it seems like they're hitting the ball pretty well. I mean, you look at through some of these score lines and it's like, I think it was our friends over at Bruin at McEwen. Oh no, just the USF baseball account. 8-16 games with 10 or more runs scored. So in half the games are scoring 10 or more runs. Seems pretty good.
That seems decent. It's not bad.
double digits. Pretty good.
Yeah. And then kind of moving over to softball real quick, 21-9. They've won three straight. They had a weird early part of this week. They played 4 games in 2 days after playing basically they played Friday, 2 games on Saturday, off Sunday because of weather, and then they traveled down to Fort Myers for 2 on Monday, came back home to Tampa and played 2 against Colgate on Tuesday, and then they're on the road at Tulsa. Softball continues to be the weirdest sport with scheduling. How these girls, like, I know, you know the mechanics of it. It's supposedly easier on the arms, but that's a lot of games to be playing in a short amount of time. So we'll see how they do on the road at Tulsa, basically their first out of Florida road trip this season.
Yeah, it always blows my mind that they can just, yeah, we're just gonna play 4 games in these 2 days. No big deal.
But
you'll see the same pitcher and like two. It's like, okay, that's always kind of the interesting part of softball that blows my mind a little bit. So
yeah. They're 1-2 in conference play after dropping 2-3 versus Charlotte last weekend. They got run ruled in 5 innings on the second Saturday game, lost 5-1 in the first Saturday game, and then 1-11 innings Friday night. So big hill to climb. Tulsa's always competitive. So we'll see kind of what they have. Moving on real quick, women's basketball, their season's over. They were eliminated in the second round of the AAC tournament after beating Wichita on Sunday. They lost Monday to 4-seed UTSA. And honestly, the conference tournament was chaotic. 10th seeded Rice beat 9th seeded ECU for their first American Conference title. So there's that down year. We kind of knew it early on, especially when Sammy went out. This was not going to be the season for the Bulls.
No, it's hard to kind of replace, especially kind of it seemed like it was initially it was kind of built around her and her shooting ability. So when you take that out early and you kind of try to figure it out on the fly, that kind of sucks, especially after you thought initially, okay, she's going to come back. She'll be all right. Yeah. And then you get that one game. I think she scored 20 plus points. You play really well. And then, oh, wait, she's out the rest of the year now. So
yep.
Tough. Still, the down years in for women's basketball, not terrible. Still not too bad. Just not quite at the standard that they've set for themselves. So,
with a women's basketball season, you know, completely done, no shot of NIT, anything like that, WNIT, kind of focus on the one team that still has a chance to do some damage in their conference tournament, respectively. Men's basketball, as we mentioned at the top, will face ECU at 1 o'clock on ESPN2 at Dickies Arena. And, you know, the Bulls won by 11 the last time they played. Should be interesting.
Yeah. And, you know, and we'll get deeper into it, but, you know, looking at the two teams kind of before, I think ECU may be the team you would rather play. Their shooting split, to me, like, I'm always scared of teams that can shoot getting hot in a tournament setting and going. Now, I think they shot decent in their game today, but
yeah,
for the season, they're worse than Tulsa. And we talked about how bad Tulsa is shooting the basketball. So they've got a couple guys that can hit from long range, but they've got two guys that are over 34%. Everybody else is way under. So if you feel like you can contain those guys, I mean, they're 306 in 3-point percentage. And the thing with Tulsa is they were really low in 3-point percentage, but they weren't that low. And they were also really good at twos because they have a guy like Haggerty that's, you know, hitting all those mid-range jumpers and getting to the free throw line. So they're kind of really good at those two parts of it. So, you know, I think it's a good matchup in those terms, because if you're not shooting well, like they did against Tulsa, I think you're bound to get more stops against East Carolina. But, you know, how do you think the tournament's shaping up for them in total? Let's say they win and move on. Memphis gets upset by Wichita State, even though Memphis had, you know, all the best players and should have had the conference player of the year and
yada,
other things. But, yeah, couldn't beat a 12 seed in a conference that all their fans say sucks. So how do you think that affects USF going forward?
It's definitely a weight off of their shoulders, right? Because, you know, up until maybe the last week of the season, it looked like all the quote unquote tough teams were going to be on the bottom part of the bracket that USF wouldn't face until the championship game. You know, your Charlotte, your FAUs, and kind of SMU and Memphis kind of switched spots there. You always figure you're going to have to go through UAB at some point. Kind of a revenge factor game. I don't think UAB would shoot 41 free throws again in a game.
On a neutral, yeah.
Yeah, but you never know. But looking at East Carolina and Tulsa, both teams shot over 30 free throws on Thursday afternoon. So maybe it gets fouly. You know, Tulsa had two guys foul out. ECU had a guy foul out. ECU out-rebounded Tulsa 41-26. I think that's a really big difference in the game. I don't think USF is going to give up that many things. I think Tulsa's a little smallish inside, if I want to be kind. They kind of run like a kind of a three-and-a-half guard, one forward kind of look, and you can kind of get exposed rebounding wise in that kind of look, especially with how quick and how kind of bad they are shooting from the outside. Like,
and their biggest guys, the Tulsa's biggest guy is a stiff. Like,
yeah.
Matt Reed.
And, yeah, and he's a freshman. I mean, he played.
But they act like he's 7 feet tall. He's listed as 6'9".
So, right.
So, yeah, like you said, they're not – it's not huge.
Yeah. And kind of to USF's benefit, it is another pretty early game. And R.J. Felton played all 40 minutes for East Carolina. And he's done that pretty consistently over the last couple of weeks. Kind of looking back at his minutes played over the last five games, he's averaging close to 38, 39 minutes a game. So at some point, it's going to catch up to you in a tournament like this. There's only so many like walking around like the hotel floor trying to get the lactic acid out that you can do before it kind of catches up to you. So we'll kind of see what he does. But it's him. It's Ezra Assar, who probably had the game of his life. 28 points, 10 rebounds. He just kind of ate Tulsa for lunch in the post and was 10 of 11 on two-point shots. So that was kind of the difference for East Carolina on Thursday.
Yeah, as to borrow a phrase from soccer or FIFA game, he's R.J. Felton is the danger man. He's the guy that you kind of got to make sure you can contain, but you know, he's their highest volume 3-point shooter. He's their best shooter by percentages. High in terms of attempt free throw shooter. So, he's definitely the guy, but you know, we'll get into it a little bit more, but Tulsa is actually kind of pretty high tempo. So that I think probably helps USF as well. Because East Carolina is really low tempo. They want to be really low tempo. They are kind of a really slow it down play defense team, which you kind of would be if you're that poor at shooting. But Tulsa kind of got them. I wonder, I'll have to look and see kind of what the tempo numbers ended up being in this game. But if you can kind of speed them up, which USF has been able to do against some of the slower playing teams like Charlotte, North Texas, then you also get that added benefit of them playing the second day in a row and all that kind of stuff too. So a little bit of a styles makes fights kind of game, but I think, like you said, Felton played 40 minutes. Brandon Johnson played 37. Ezra Azar, you just mentioned, played 32. Those guys are probably going to play a ton again. And if you can kind of work them in the tempo and wear them down a little bit, you can probably, hopefully, pull away late.
Yeah, hopefully we didn't send Stieg to Dallas for naught. We're looking for some great content from him. So, yeah. Give me 2 or 3 days of content.
Stieg in Texas.
I mean, Stieg does Dallas. I mean, it's gonna be great.
I think it should be lovely to see what Stieg can come up with some downtime there, and like we talked about, you know, he's gonna be, I don't know how many media members will be there, but he'll get chances to talk with players and coaches, and he's in the Ponderosa. He's soliciting questions. He'll be doing play-by-play. If you don't want play-by-play, we've got another game thread in the kind of free section of the Discord that you can jump in there. But very fun places to hang out. And then there's also some watch parties, I think, around tomorrow that I think some people will take advantage of. So
yep,
it should be a fun atmosphere. And we'll try to cover every game post and pre the next ones. And hopefully we have to do that a few times.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm excited for it. With that said, hope you guys have a great rest of your day. Go Bulls. Let's go catch a dub.
Go Bulls.